بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أرأيت الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم فإن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد. In these nights of commemorating Imam Hussein, for the first 10 days, the first Ashura, and then for the 40 days thereafter, if we want to understand our duty and our responsibility in these nights, and just a few words, and that is, first and foremost, to learn from this message of Imam Hussein. And in the first 10 nights, as we mentioned, that the speaker who speaks about Imam Hussein, he not only narrates the events, this history, and the importance of it, but he sheds light on one of the messages of Imam Hussein, alayhi afsalatu wasalam. And it is our responsibility, our duty to pick up on that message. What is that message that we are to learn? Thereafter, in the 40 days, that we try to implement that message. And at the end of that 40, we assess ourselves to see how well did we learn the lesson from Imam Hussein? How well have we implemented the message of Imam Hussein in our lives? And thereafter, we move forward. So it's three stages: learn, assess, and then move forward. And at this time, that, as it has been confirmed, that it is Arba'een, that this is the night of Arba'een, tomorrow is the day of Arba'een, it is time for us to assess that, what have we learned in this Muharram? And how well have we implemented that message in our lives? That if we have learned something and we have put it into practice, it has become something that we reflect upon, that we strive for, alhamdulillah. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should continue to carry that message with us. We should continue to strive for perfection of whatever that lesson may have been, to gain taqwa, to be just and upright, or to be those who hold fast to the rope of Allah, to the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam. Whatever that message is that we gained, then now is time to assess it and see and move forward. If there was a message that we understood and we were not able to practice that, to be more pious, to be those who set our path like the path of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, Allahumma salli Muhammad wa Muhammad. That if we saw that, yes, there's some sort of shortcoming, there's something that I've missed, that I was not able to implement, then we still move forward, but we move forward with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help to be more like Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and forgiveness for that shortcoming, and to keep us upon this glorious path of the Ahlul Bayt. The saying of Imam Sadiq that Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kullu yawmin ashira wa kullu arbin karbala is simply for that. Yes, we've heard what happened in Karbala in the first 10 days. We mourned and we cried. We took a message from remembering that event, remembering what that event was for, what it stood for. And then we try to, hopefully we try to implement something. And if we didn't, or if we did, we still must move forward. And remember that that message does not end with the first 10 days. Nor does that message end with the commemoration of the Arba'een. But that message must continue. Every day is Ashura. Every land is Karbala. Every day we should remember that why Imam Hussein, he sacrificed his life. And as the Prophet said, that every 40 days you should have some sort of reminder. Assess yourself. That if every day is Karbala, every day is Ashura, every land is Karbala, then likewise we have, after every Ashura, we have 40 days to assess ourselves, to implement that message of the Prophet, the message of Ahlul Bayt. We have 40 days to assess ourselves, to see that how much or how well have I implemented this message. This is the meaning of Karbala. This is why we come and we sit from the first of Muharram until the 40th commemoration of Imam Hussein. Not just to hear the story, but to take the message, implement it. And as we mentioned, that this, the significance of the 40th is to, or in Karbala itself, is that we may, in our time, the time of Imam Zaman, Ajal Antwaraj Sharif, Muhammad, take the example of Imam Hussein, take the example of his companions, and inshallah be like the companions of Imam Hussein to our own Imam. That is what we are to strive for. Not just to listen to the story, listen that how brave Hur was, that he sacrificed his life, but rather his bravery also is in him recognizing and realizing that where he was at and making the adjustment that I'm not in a position that I should be in. And then he made the adjustment and left from the camp of Yazid to the camp of Imam Hussein. That was bravery. That was being honest with himself and realizing where his strengths lie and where his shortcomings were. As far as his strength, no one can doubt his bravery. No one can doubt that. But his shortcoming for some time was that he was on the wrong side. He was one who stopped Imam Hussein. He brought Imam Hussein to Karbala. And he realized that. And this is why he went back and he asked for forgiveness. That's Imam Hussein, forgive me. For this, I've done this thing that is horribly wrong. Imam Hussein said, yes, I forgive you. And then he sacrificed himself for the Imam. We must assess too, that where do we stand? And what position do we stand with the Imam of our own time? That are we of those who would sacrifice our souls for our Imam? Are we of those individuals who strive to be in the pleasure of their Imam? Because they know that the Imam, he is one who is guided by Allah. Or do we think, oh, well, you know what, the Imam, he's not here now. And so now I can do whatever I want. Quite often as children, that's what we think, oh, you know what, Mom and Dad are not looking, so you know what, I'm going to, you know that cookies, they said, don't eat those cookies. I'm going to take one of them. Why? Because they can't see me. Are we those that we know that, well, although they can't see me, but they will know. They will have an understanding that if one of those cookies get missing, they'll know. That our Imam, if he is looking and waiting for 313 campaigns to rise among the Ummah of Islam, that they will be those individuals, if the Imam asks them to do something, they will do it. Like Imam Hussein, that he had companions that in the midst of war, in the middle of the battlefield, that when it's time for Salat, they stood in front of the Imam, bearing the arrows so that the Imam could pray. That there was no doubt in them that, well, this is what the Imam wants from me, this is what I will do. That the Imam only calls me to that which will give me life. And they stood. This is the message that we should learn from Karbala, from Ashura, from Kufa, from Sham, the example of the Ahlul Bayt, the example of their companions. And if we really understood the even some of the words that the companions they spoke, then we will understand that these were people who had not only in-depth knowledge of the Qur'an, in-depth understanding of the Qur'an, but they understood their responsibility to their Imam. They understood their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet if you hear one young boy in the event of Karbala that he says that al-maut, when he was asked that, what do you think about death? Al-maut ahla min al-asal. That is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. Do we assume that he did not understand and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, that every soul, this is literally every soul will taste death. And this is a metaphor that the soul will taste death. That taste means that soul will experience death. But how that soul experiences death depends on that individual. Depends on that person's actions. That is death something that is bitter? Is it something that you would avoid? For example, if if you bite into a lemon, they squint, it's bitter or sour. And if something really doesn't taste good to us, normally we spit it out. But here, Qasim, he's saying that no, death is ahla min al-asl. We are individuals that if we taste something that's sweet, we go for it. To that thing. We actually seek that thing. If we were offered a piece of cake or something that's sweet, I don't think many of us, we won't turn it down. We'll say, well, yes, this is something I like to eat. So you will go for it. And this is what Qasim, he meant. That al-maut ahla min al-asl. That I know for certain that if I sacrifice my life for the Imam of my time, that my death will be sweeter than honey. That death is not something that is going to be bitter, not something that I should be afraid of. But it's like honey. It's like a piece of candy. I will happily, gladly go forward to that. So we see that even the sayings of the companions of the Imam, that if we really reflect upon them, analyze them, that what is this person saying? Sweeter than honey, meaning that the experience of death. And everyone, no doubt, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will experience death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. You and I will experience death. But how will we experience that death? Would it be as sweet as honey, as Qasim said? If we are those who follow our Imam as we should, if we are those who follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined in the Quran as our duty to Him, establish the salat, the fasting, khums, zakat, hajj, and we follow that, the teachings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salat wa salam, as we should, then yes, we can expect that our death will be as sweet as honey. Even Imam Sadiq alayhi afdhalus salat wa salam, he stated that death for a mu'min is like smelling a rose. That when you smell the fragrance, then that is how it feels for the believer, the mu'min, that his soul exits his body. That easy. That easy. And now is the time in the Harbain to assess that have we risen to that occasion, that status, or at least strived for it, like the companions of Imam Hussein? And have we strived to be the companions of our own Imam? Not just to consider, oh, the Imam is in ghibah, but rather to realize that, yes, he is at a place and he is waiting. And we must strive to get to that place. We must strive to raise our iman, strive to be among those who are worthy of being his companion. There's another very interesting saying of one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi afdhalus salat wa salam. That some of our scholars, they have analyzed it. They said it's very interesting that what this companion says. Because as we mentioned yesterday, that we will speak about an issue in the aqayat, a theological issue, that among the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, which is among the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, and that is Raja, like to return and to be the companion of the Imam of your time. So some scholars, they have said that one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi afdhalus salam, he mentions something that it may indicate on that, but not necessary, but the saying was interesting anyway, and that was of Habib ibn Madahir. Then on the night, or the eve of Ashura, meaning Tasawa, that when Imam Hussein alayhi afdhalus salam, he turned out the lights and he says, told his companions, let go. That if you leave me now, I will not take an offense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will forgive you. He will, you guys will be of Ahlul Jannah, paradise. But none of the companions left. And one companion, Habib ibn Mudahir, he stood up, he says, Ya Aba Abdullah, that I swear by Allah, I will not leave you. That I will not leave your side, even if I was martyred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave me life again, then I was martyred again, he gave me life again, and I was martyred again. Even up to 70 times, that I will continue to stay by your side. That this devotion and love of Ahlul Bayt, that one would sacrifice himself, that even that after death, he will come back and he will sacrifice his life again for the Imam. Some scholars have said that this is shows on one hand the understanding of this companion of the Quran and of this idea of Raja'ah. That at the end of time there will come that when Imam al-Zaman he will return, there will be among the believers some who have passed away, that they will come back, Allah will give them life, and they will fight alongside Imam al-Zaman, Ajalat Raja Sharif. So, they said that the words of Habib, it gives some indication of that. And as we mentioned that the Dua Ahd in Mufatih al-Jinan, that Imam Sadiq, he says, if you read this Dua, then you will be among those who return to fight on the side of Imam Zaman against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see that this idea and this concept of returning after death, and this is before Yawm al-Qiyamah, that it is not something that is made up, but it is also within the Qur'an. As we mentioned, or we recited this verse in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Baqarah, I think it's verse 243. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Alam tara illa alladhina kharaju min diyarihim wa hum ulufun hadhar al-maut. Have you not seen? He's talking to the Prophet and he's reminding him about the Bani Israel, that there was a group of them who left from their homes and they were in thousands. Hadar al-maut, afraid of death. So they left out of their town, their village, because they were afraid of death. فَقَالَ لَهُمَ اللَّهُ مُوتُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that they would be killed. He says, die. And they all died. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave them life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave them life, as it is mentioned in the commentaries. And we can find this in both the commentaries of Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Shia. That it was one of the prophets of Bani Israel. And there's some difference between who it was. Some say it was Hizqil, and others say it was Uzair. But the more stronger opinion that it was Uzair. That he came across this nation, this people, as they were dead. And he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, just as you took their lives from them in one moment, you can give them their lives back. And then Allah, he asks his prophet Uzair, he says, Is this what you want? And the prophet said, Yes, if you give them life, then you will find them among those who will serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they will follow your Nabi, your Prophet, and they will serve Allah. They will serve you. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them life again. Gave them life because of the dua of this Prophet, the Prophet Uzair. So we see that this concept of raja'ah, not only is it something that the Imams, they have taught about, but it's something that occurred in previous nations. That it is not something that's new. If we read Surah Al-Baqarah, that the one of the main and central ideas of Surah Al-Baqarah is that, this idea of Raja. Verses 72 and 73 of Surah Al-Baqarah, of course we all, if we read the surah, that we know that it's named Surah Al-Baqarah because of the trial that the Bani Israel had with the cow. That one person unjustly killed another, and then there was a difference, there was a dispute as to who killed this person. And the person who was killed was a very pious person, mu'min, but he was killed. And so there was a dispute that who killed him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to Musa that tell them to sacrifice a cow, and then we will reveal that who killed this believer, this mu'min. And of course the story goes that, you know, they kept asking about all of these different details of the cow, when initially Allah says, just sacrifice a cow. It didn't make a difference what cow it was. But then they started asking, should it be a girl, or should it be a boy cow, should it be tall, short, big, how old, black, spots, no spots. And then the story prolonged until it became a, you know, big deal. So anyway, when the cow was sacrificed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to Musa that to take a part of the cow and to strike this person who was killed. And that's explained in verse 72 and 73 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says there in Surah 73, he says that he brought him, يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى, that believer who was killed, he brought him back to life in order to establish justice. That was the reason that this mu'min who was unjustly killed and killed in secret, who saw who killed him, he was brought back to life to mention, to identify the person who killed him. And it's so that justice would be served. So we see that several occasions, this concept of raj'ah is mentioned in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, and so actually in several places in Surah Al-Baqarah, and also a few places in other ayat, that this concept of raja is to return. And in each time, we see that here, when Uzair, he's making dua for his ummah, this nation that was killed, that Allah bring them back to life, that they will be your obedient servants. That is one. When the cow was used to bring this mu'min back to life, he was brought back to life to establish justice, to identify the zalim, the oppressor, so that justice will be served. So we see that the concept of raja'a is also to establish justice. In fact, many of our ulama, they say that yes, this is one of the conditions behind the raja, that these individuals, that they will rise and they will be on the side of their imam fighting to establish justice in the earth. That they will be the people of justice. There will be, of course, and if this individual among the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi afla salatu wasalam, that if, because we cannot read his mind or know what was in his mind, but if that was his understanding, that yes, this is why I would want to rise again and to stand and to fight and to sacrifice my life for you, Imam Hussein, that I would do it. Why? Because he understands that his mission in life is to establish justice, is to fight against injustice. That if we understand this, and we too are among those who not only pay, I don't want to say, well, maybe if we say lip service, but pay homage to our imam, but we don't intend it, then what good is it? If we have not learned the lesson from Imam Hussein and his companions, that we should be those who are stand for justice, be those who implement the Quran in our life. Allah says, "In Allah, ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan." He commands for justice and good deeds. Aqimu salat wa atu zakat. That establish the prayer, give your zakat. Kutuba alaykum as-siyam. That these are our duties in life that we must establish, that we must live by. If we live by that, then yes, we can understand that the saying of Habib, that why he would be an individual who would want to rise and who would want to sacrifice his life for his imam. That it wouldn't just become a matter of historical fact. Because quite often we look at those events and it's just something in history. Oh, mashallah. Look at Qasim, he says that death is sweeter than honey. But if we hear that, but we don't understand, what does he mean that death is sweeter than honey? What is our Quranic reference for that? Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every soul will taste death, will experience death. And his experience of death will be sweeter than honey. Ali Akbar, that upon his death, as he's falling from his horse, he says, "Ha huna jaddi Rasulullah yusqini bika'asin." That here's my grandfather Rasulullah, and he's giving me water. He's giving me water. This is an expression of his death. That how is Ali Akbar experiencing death? That in the middle of a blazing desert, when your throat is parched, and if anyone has ever been parched, you know that your throat feels like sand, your tongue feels like sand. Your lips may be even cracked. And even at times it's even difficult to breathe because you're so thirsty, that your mouth is so dry. And here he's saying that, "Ya Abati, here's my grandfather. He's giving me kasin min al-ma." He's giving me water to drink. Meaning that his death is like quenching his thirst. That it was so pleasant. Of course, yes, we see the tragedy on that end, that someone would martyr this valiant youth in such a brutal manner, but his own experience is that no, this is sweetness. This is what I have lived for, that my death is like that. My actions were such that it made my death like that. That when it was time for salat, I made my salat. When it was time to fast, I made my fast. When it was time to fulfill my religious duties, I did that. So the result is that my death is like quenching my thirst. Or your death will be like honey. So yes, these are events that took place, but they have a meaning behind them. Salawat. It is our duty to strive to be like the companions of Imam Hussein, to learn their lessons, to become inspired by their bravery. And as we mentioned, that this du'a'at, we should read it. We should take 40 days and read it. That if, yes, we are the lovers of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, the lovers of Imam Hussein, wa Muhammad wa Muhammad. Then we have a responsibility to make the ahd, or as it says, the pact with our Imam, to connect ourselves with our Imam. And one of the best ways to do it is to recite this du'a ahd. Also, on every Jummah, to make ziyarah to Imam Zaman. Because Jummah is considered the day of Imam Zaman. That we should not let a Jummah go past where we at least renew our ahd with Imam Zaman. And at the very shortest, very brief, we recite the dua, Allahumma kulli waliyika al-hujjata ibn al-Hasan. Every Jummah. At least once we should recite that. To remind ourselves that yes, we live in a time that our Imam, he is alive. Our Imam, he is waiting. Our Imam, he's waiting for his companions who will stand with him as the companions of Imam Hussein stood with him, with Imam Hussein. Must remind ourselves of this. Recite the du'a ahd. Take 40 days. Reflect upon its meaning. And also reflect upon what it means to you. As one who says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyyun Waliyullah. This is what we must do. And this is what we must remember for Arba'een. Because the oppression, the torture, the injustice that occurred for Imam Hussein and his Ahlul Bayt thereafter, it happened so that we will remember and know our responsibility and duty to our Imam. That in Karbala, the brave soldiers, they stood and they sacrificed their lives. In Kufa, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Hazrat Zainab, salamullah alayhim, that they stood and they would not back down from the injustice that occurred. In Sham, that Imam Zain al-Abidin, Hazrat Zainab, Sukaina, the other women and children, that they bared so much oppression, so much humility, just so that we may understand our responsibility, that we must be champions of justice, stand against injustice, that the injustice of Sham were so difficult and so harsh that Imam Zain al-Abidin, that whenever he asked that, what was the most difficult part of this journey, he would say, Asham, Asham, Asham. They were asked that, why was Sham so difficult? He says, because you see, in Karbala, my father, Imam Hussein, my brother, Ali al-Akbar, my cousin, Qasim, the companions, Hur, Muslim ibn Awsaja, Habib ibn Madahir, Joan, and even my uncle, Ammi al-Abbas, that they all had swords and they could defend themselves. They could defend themselves. They could strike some of the enemies, and before they died, yes, they struck down some of the enemies of Allah. But in Sham, our hands were in chains. Our women had no hijab. And there were stones that were being tossed upon us. There were sticks that were being tossed at us. There were words that were being tossed in our way. And we had nothing to defend ourselves with. So this was the most difficult part of our journey. And we see that even for Sukaina, this was a difficult part. That Imam Zain al-Abidin, he said at one point that he could not take what was going on in Sham anymore. That Sham had become so difficult for him. He says, especially when Sukaina, she began to complain. That Sukaina also, she said that Sham is too difficult. That she wants to go back to her father. She wants to see Imam Hussein. Imam Zain al-Abidin, he narrates that Sukaina said this and it broke his heart. You see that eventually the Ahlul Bayt, they begin to make their way back to Karbala to visit Imam Hussein and the Shuhada at Karbala, to remember the sacrifice that was made in Karbala. Imam Zain al-Abidin said that when they were approaching Karbala, and this was on the Arba'een, they saw one of the companions of the Prophet there. And this was one of the close companions of Ahlul Bayt. This was Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. He said that as they approached to Karbala, they could hear Jabir saying, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah." They heard Jabir making the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah. "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك." Salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. May peace and blessings of Allah be on those souls who sacrifice themselves for you, ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu ala al-Husayn. Wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn. وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. They heard Jabir making this ziyara. And then as they approach Jabir, he says, أشهد أن لا أشهد أن الله أشهد بالحق شاركنا في فعلكم شاركنا بعملكم يا أبا عبد الله. That, oh Abba Abdullah, I swear by Allah that we have taken part in this sacrifice that you have made, ya Abba Abdullah. And when Atiyah, this is one of the persons who came with Jabir, she asks that, how is it that you have been in partnership, that you also have the best blessings of Shahada when you are still alive and Imam Hussein is martyred. You're still alive and Abbas, he is martyred. And then Jabir, he says, "Ana sami'tu Allah anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." I heard that the Prophet of Allah, he says, "Man ahabba qawman hushira ma'ahum." So whoever loves a people, he will be raised with that people. "Wa man ahabba amalahum wa sharaka." And whoever loves the actions of a people, then he has also participated in the actions of those people. And as he was saying this, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Zainab, salamullah alayha, and Ahlul Bayt, they came and they gave their greetings to Jabir. Assalamu alayka ya Jabir. And Jabir, he recognized this was Imam Zainul Abidin. This is the son of Hussein al-Shaheed. He says, alayka salam ya bida Rasulullah. How Akbar, alayka salam ya bida Rasulullah. And then Imam Zainul Abidin, he took Jabir by the hand and he began to walk with Jabir. He says, ya Jabir, hauna wanna, hauna wanna, kutila hur. Oh Jabir, look, here's the place where hur, he was martyred. This is the place that he sacrificed his life. He said, ya Jabir, ya Jabir, hauna wanna, hauna wanna, kutila ani akbar. Then look, Jabir, here's the place where Ali Akbar, he fell from his horse and he gave his last salams to my father, Abba Abdullah. Imam Zainul Abidin, he took the hand of Jabir. He says, ya Jabir, hauna wallah. هاهنا والله قتل عمي العباس. Oh Jabir, look, here's the place where my uncle Abbas, he was martyred. Here's the place where his hand was cut and it fell to the ground. Here's the place where my father, he came to Abbas and he brushed the dirt from Abbas's face and he wiped the blood from Abbas's eyes so he could see my father one last time. Hauna kutila anni al-Abbas ya Jabir. Then he took Jabir. He says, oh Jabir. He says, unduru. Hauna kutila akhi Ali al-Asghar. This is the place where my young brother Ali Asghar, where he was killed and the arrow was shot into his neck. Ya Jabir, انظروا ها هنا قتل أبي الحسين. Oh Abbas, this is the place where my father Hussein, where he was martyred, where he was in his last prostration and his head was cut off. Ya Abba, ya Jabir, ha huna hurqat khayma. This is the place where the tents were burned. Ya Jabir, ha huna subiyat an-nisa. This is the place where the women, they were captured and they were put into chains. لا لعنت الله على قوم الظالمين لا لعنت الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب. اللهم بحق حضر المجلس الحسيني اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وقضي حوائجنا واشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا وعجل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشرين بين يديه بحق محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين. ناتم حسن.